Hello again, class. This is Reverend Calhoun. We're going to continue our study on the areas or the steps it takes to reap the reward of honor. Several classes earlier in our classes, we talked about things that cause people to walk in dishonor. But I want to kind of conclude this year in showing you these are the steps that need to be taken in order for you to reap the reward of honor. We talked about first being called and also being commissioned. And I didn't hit on commission as well as I needed to, but I needed to move on. So the third step to produce honor is you must be competent. You must be competent in ministry. Amen. That's so very important that you be competent. Competent means that, you know, you know what you're doing. You're not a novice or novice in ministry. You've been trained, you've sat and you've listened and you've learned and you've taken the notes that you need. Amen. So let me just start off by reading Hebrews 5, 13 and 14. It says, "For every one that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age or mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So your soul has to be developed in spiritual things, and you can't be a novice, you know, and you can't be unskillful in the word of righteousness. That's why it's so important to sit, to listen, and to learn. That's why it's so important not to jump out ahead of yourself in ministry. If you want to be honored, if you want to receive the honor of God on your life. But stay, as I stated last week, stay in your lane. And it's so very important. And one of these things that really should have been included in the steps is finding your man of God, finding the person who's going to be your spiritual father and submit to that person. That is vital. That's vital. And I almost call that, I don't want to call it step number 8 because that probably should be right after the call, you know, but the person who commissions you really is going to be your spiritual father. Amen. All right. So let's move on. "When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But now that I've become a man, I've done away with childish ways and put them aside." And that's 1 Corinthians 13 and 11, and that's the Amplified Bible. Growing up spiritually and getting your soul in alignment is so, so very important. To be competent in ministry and build honor, you must put away childish things and walk in spiritual maturity. Amen? Growing up in Christ in all things. How can God give you strong spiritual meat if you're still sucking on milk spiritually from a bottle? We have got to grow up and develop spiritual maturity and be an asset to the kingdom of God. You don't want to be a liability. You want to be an asset to the body of Christ. That's one of the reasons why you're here in the school of ministry, so that you can be developed, so that you can be trained, so that you can be an asset or a blessing to the kingdom of God. You know, and I already spoke to you last week about, I remember an apostle calling me into prison ministry, you know, calling me to teach in the school of ministry, to do the foundation classes here at church. And all of these were training ground under a controlled environment here at the church to help develop me for ministry. And so that I can be competent, so that I can get off the bottle and start eating strong meat and start manifesting the kingdom of God and helping others to manifest and leading them in the right direction. Amen. Ministry and ministers and the ministry of helps has to be competent in their gifts. So their gifts has got to be developed. The only way a gift can be developed, it must be exercised. Whatever in ministry your hand finds to do, put your hand at it, you know, get involved with it, you know, and by doing so, that's going to help develop you in ministry. Make yourself available and serve. You know, sometimes you may not quite know what it is that you've called to do, but you know, come volunteer, come do something. And as you begin to, what's the word I want to use? Avail yourself in ministry in any way you can, God's going to reveal to you through your spirit what gifting and what calling that you do have. But at the same time, he's going to make sure that you're competent in that gift. Amen. When we develop the kinds of programs that sharpen the giftingness of individuals and then minister into their strengths. So that's so important that programs are established, you know, where God gives you an assignment to do something. You know, I remember times we would have guest speakers come to the church years ago, and an apostle wanted me to be their escort, to pick them up from the airport, bring them to the hotel, you know, and whatever they need, you know, be at their side, assisting them, you know. That's all development, you know. Not saying anything to them, but if they want to stop off and get something at the drugstore or the grocery store, find out what they want, go get it. Don't let them pay for it. Before they went into the hotel room, open the door, check it out to make sure there's nothing suspect in the room that would bring a reproach to the ministry. And make sure before I leave, they got everything they need for the night. I remember those assignments. And I remember one assignment I was supposed to pick up a ministry gift in the body of Christ. And their plane, because something was left at the house, they had to take a later flight. And I was going to pick them up at a certain time, but the last flight didn't leave into New Orleans till 12 o'clock. So that means me and my wife had to drive to New Orleans, get a hotel, get some rest, get up about 11, and meet them at the airport at 12 a.m. And bring them to the hotel. And then go back to the hotel we rented. My wife she worked in New Orleans, so she had to go to work. I had to bring the van back to Gonzales and get up and go back to New Orleans to help set up for the celebration we were having. But whatever it took to get the job done, I had to do it. But that helps develop you in ministry. And that's what I want to say. We then develop the kinds of programs that sharpen the giftingness of individuals and then minister to their strengths. If you do not minister into their strengths and develop their weaknesses, in moments of pressure, their incompetence can release dishonor. This can happen by saying the wrong thing or speaking out of turn, you know, or not giving the Holy Spirit an opportunity to kick in, you know. It's so very important that you be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I've learned that. You know, a lot of times we want to say things, you know, and blurt out all we know. But I've learned to stop and listen to the Holy Ghost. Learn to stop and give the Holy Spirit a chance to give you insight, wisdom, and discernment, you know, because he knows best what you need to say. He knows best how to handle the situation. And see, that's all a part of being developed in ministry. You know, people don't want to hear what you got to say, but they will listen to what God is saying through you. And they'll know the difference because it's going to come out with an anointing, with a refreshing, and it'll be just what they need. You know, so be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to rap. That's so, so very important. All right, every individual has been endued with gifts, but at the same time, their inherence to each of us, there's weaknesses, inadequacies, and levels of incompetence, limitation, lack, frailties, and vulnerabilities in our own ability. To those inadequacies, we need to build protection for the individual and develop accountability structures and systems for the success of the upcoming ministry or ministers. It is so important that there is a level of accountability for young ministers, somebody that they answer to for covering and protection, like a spiritual father. Amen. Under unreasonable pressure and demonic attack, jealousy, letdowns, if this protection is not provided for the ministry individual, they could leave the ministry too early and without the blessing they need. Leaving or disconnect for no good reason, bringing a curse of dishonor upon themselves that creates famine, drought, and barrenness. Understanding a covering for ministry is so, so very important. You know, it's so, so very important. You know, there's got to be a competency level there. There's got to be, you got to be competent. And with that, we'll move on to the next step. Amen. Let me make sure I finished all here. Ministers need somebody to speak into their lives, somebody of spiritual authority and rank, an apostolic leader, spiritual father, who can speak into their lives to help eliminate weaknesses. That's what a covering relationship, our covenant relationship, is all about, are designed to do. Also, it is designed to jerk the slack out of our lives. Be an example to them and a covering of protection for them. And that helps us to be competent. Amen. So now the fourth level, or the fourth way to build honor, is through good conduct. Good moral conduct. Being a minister of God, we must have good moral conduct. Coming from Ephesians 5, 3 and 5, says, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becoming saints, neither filthiness or foolish talking nor gesturing, which is not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Amen. The Amplified Bible of that same verse of scripture, Ephesians 5, 3 through 5, says, but immorality, sexual vice, and all impurity of lust, rich, wasteful living, or greediness must not even be named among you as a fitting and proper among saints of God, consecrated people. So if you're God's consecrated people, there shouldn't be no immorality, no sexual vice, no impurities, no lust, no greed, wasteful living. Verse 4 says, let there be no filthiness, obscenity, indecency, nor foolish or sinful, silly or corrupt talk, or coarse gesturing, which are not fitting of becoming, but instead voice your thankfulness to God. Having a good example before us is the first step in walking in a good moral conduct. When you have a man of God who's walking in integrity, you have an example that you need to follow. And I thank God for Apostle Thompson. He's a sound, solid, apostolic, anointed, good example to follow. Amen. Glory to God. For be sure of this, that no person practicing sexual vice or impurity in thought or in life, or one who is covetous, who has lustful desires for the property of others, and is greedy of gain, for he is in effect and is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. In other words, you're going to be without honor. Amen. That's all coming from Ephesians 5, 3 and 5 in the Amplified Bible. Ask God to give you the spirit of wisdom and of an understanding heart. You know, when you're talking about good consciousness, you want to, you know, Lord, give me understanding. Give me wisdom. Therefore, give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? That's coming out of 1 Kings 3 and 9. It is very important to ask God for the spirit of discernment and wisdom so you can discern people's motives, you know, and that'll help you from walking in the works of the flesh. Also, when you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Know how to hear the voice of God's spirit. He will always lead you from danger into a place of safety, or will lead you into green pastures. Once the Lord spoke to me while walking and praying one morning. I think I've shared this. I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I would get up every morning before the camp meetings that were done, that apostle, while he was following Kenan Hagin. So I'm talking about 6 o'clock in the morning, maybe, right at dusk, a dawn. I would walk around the whole parking lot around the Tulsa Convention Center, just praying in the Holy Spirit. And the Lord spoke to my heart and told me to keep my distance from a particular individual in the ministry. And I'm saying, keep my distance from, and then the person's name, it kind of puzzled me. But from that point on, I saw why God gave me discernment. That spirit of wisdom, you know, in the mind of God came up, and that kept me out of harm's way. You know, he not only did that once, but he did that even when I was working under the same conditions. When I saw an individual, he told me, he said, that person was going to be trouble. And after 7 years, I kept my distance. And then about year seven, year eight, we got into conversation. And based on what the individual said, the Lord spoke to me, said, didn't I tell you to keep your distance? You know, and that person was going to be trouble. And I said, yeah, Lord. So he told me, he said, there's no statute of limitations on what I told you. Even though you did it for 7 years, it doesn't matter. You do what I tell you to do, you know. And that's so very important. It is very important to ask God for discernment and wisdom so you can discern people's motives. Also, when you walk in the Spirit, like I said, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. Glory to God. Let's move on to number five, maintaining continuity, the fifth way to build honor. Maintaining continuity is the fifth way to build honor. Amen. The fifth way of building honor is maintaining continuity, keeping the process of ministry flowing and moving forward. That God, through your man of God, has already established. Let me read that again. The fifth way of building and maintaining continuity, the process of ministry, or keeping the process of ministry flowing forward, that God, through your man of God, has already started. Oh, man. Preach the word. This is 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Rebuke, reprove, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Constantly preaching the word and continuing in the things that you have been taught. You know, continuity. In other words, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. What your pastor or your man of God has already instituted and started, you want to continue in that process. You know, and if he said it, well, then it's established, and you just continue in what he has established and build upon it, and you keep it moving forward. That's so very important. Make sure I'm catching everything here. Because the disciples continued in the faith, the word increased, and many became obedient to the faith. You know, Acts 6:7 says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Why? Because they continued in the faith, and many became obedient to the faith. Why? Because they continued. There was an area of contingency that took place. What the apostles started in Jerusalem must continue to increase. And those who are called must become obedient and submitted to the faith answering the call of ministry. What apostles started here in Darrell must be continued and must be maintained and must be built upon. Amen. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. You know, teaching, evangelizing the world, you know, the home of covenant winners. All of that's so important. Acts 20:28, take heed, therefore, of yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made thee an overseer to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Ministers and ministry of helps workers need to understand the importance of continuity or continuation of a generational anointing and legacy. We don't need to reinvent the wheel any longer. The the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Paul, the God of Apostle Thompson wants us to continue the generational anointing into the next generation. What the Father started, I must continue. Walk, take their revelation and vision to the next level. That's so, so very important that we continue on those things. You know, a lot of times people want to do their own thing, you know, but it's better to find something that's working in your pastor or your man of God and just build upon that instead of trying to get your own idea and your own, way of doing things. Unless God specifically tells you and you get the blessings of your pastor, you stay in your lane, stay in the vision and the purpose of God that God has called you to do. Ministers and Ministry of Helps workers need to understand the importance of continuing or continuation of a generational anointing or a legacy. You know, we don't need to invent the real legacy of a generational anointing. You know, what the Father started, we must continue. Amen. Taking that revelation and that vision to the next level. You must not go back to the beginning. Revelation knowledge is always progressive, building upon, moving forward. We can't exhaust God's knowledge or revelation. There is always more. Take what we have learned from our spiritual father and go further. Will bring honor to yourselves. Amen. That's so, so very important. Amen. Amen. Any good father always wants their children to take the torch of ministry and advance it to the next level. Amen. They need to begin to build upon the foundation that their father has laid, carrying on the legacy and building upon the foundation that their father has laid to the next generation. That's also very important. Amen. God is a God of multiple generations or blessings. In fact, the most consistent, successful financial dynasties in the world can be attributed to generational vision, planning, and strategies, and a commitment to adhere to those goals and plans. Don't let go of the vision. Don't let it die. Blessings that flow down to your children and to your children's children when you continue in that continuation and keep it going forward. Amen. So there's always going to be an area of maintaining that consistency. Don't reinvent the wheel, but improve on it. Amen. So let's go to number six. The sixth step in building honor is to build honor in you must have confidence. You must have confidence. Amen. Being confident or confident. I'm sorry. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God, not ourselves. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That's 1 John 3:21-22. When you are not in condemnation, you can walk in confidence. So when you're not, there's no condemnation bugging you, you can walk in confidence. So it says, beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God, not ourselves. And therefore we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandment and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. Confidence must rest in him. Our confidence rests in God. Our confidence rests in the shed blood of Jesus, in his death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. That's so very important. You know, Philippians 1:12-14 says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have happened or are fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord waxed confident by my bonds, and much more bold to speak the word without fear. The sixth way of building honor in individuals, they must have unshakable confidence. This has to do with your faith. Faith and confidence run hand in hand. Without faith, the Bible says, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that's so very important, you know. So we must teach them how to function within the confines of God's word. You must be able to function in the confidence and the confines of God's word. There is confidence. Amen. Every major player in scripture has been used in the arena of dramatic, aggressive faith. The kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force, you know. But in order to do that, you got to have confidence. Confidence is an assurance and an unshakable, I don't want to use the word feeling, it's an unshakable assurance that I got this, that, you know, through Christ, I can do all things that strengthen me. You know, I'm not operating in my strength. That's one of the things when I pray, I said, Lord, I thank you that the Holy Spirit shows up, because I know he's my backup. He's my helper. You know, he's my confidence. You know, he'll speak things in my ear while I'm ministering, or tell me to go back over something that I need to reiterate or to stress. You know, I'm not up here in my own ability, because in my own ability, I would fall on my face. But when I'm in here and standing here in his ability, well, then actually I'm relying upon him. I'm relying upon his ability, his insight, his wisdom. You know, the things I've learned, you know, I want to commit to faithful brethren who can teach others also, just like I learned from faithful brethren who taught me also. Amen. And that's when you're relying on God. You know, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please him, for we have to teach them how to function within the confines of God's word. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything in his name, that he heareth us. Amen. About every successful ministry in our day is so because of significant faith, which have a direct bearing on their confidence in God. Let me read that again. Just about every successful ministry in our day is so because of significant faith, which does have a direct bearing on their confidence in God. Okay, let's look at the Apostle Paul's ministry. Okay. It says here in Ephesians 3, 7 and 11, therefore I was made a minister according to the gift and the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the ministry, of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Verse 11, according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why is this possible? Because he was granted access, boldness, and confidence. And in Ephesians 3, 12 and 13, which is the last two verses, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith in him. Wherefore I desire ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. In other words, Paul's saying that, you know, in whom we have boldness, access, and confidence. It's so very important that we walk in unshakable confidence, our confidence. And you see, the more you exercise your gift, the more you develop your gift, the more you become competent in it. I remember just in ministering the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I had a, not so much a fearfulness, but it's like, Lord, I don't want them to think that this is something that I'm giving them, you know, because I lay hands on them and they pray in other tongues. They may say, well, Greg gave me the gift. No, Greg didn't give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. So when I was talking to God about this one day, he said, son, don't lay hands on them. Just say what I tell you to say. Tell them to do what I tell them to do. Lead a confession. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and make his abode on the inside of them. Have them open up their mouth and begin to speak words coming out of their bellies. The Bible says, out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living water. And I did what he said, and he would fill them every time. And there's never been a time I didn't do what he told me to do about people being filled with the Holy Spirit that they didn't get filled, whether it was two people or 50 people. And I'm serious about that. They all got filled at one time, you know. But what happened, because I recognized it was not me, but it was me following the instructions of God, following the instructions of the Holy Spirit. I was in cooperation with him, and he did the work. You know, I was just, you know, facilitating in that work, you know. And it was not in my own strength, and it was not in my own ability. And so over the years, I've developed a confidence. If somebody come to me and says, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, as far as I'm concerned, it's a done deal. I ain't stressing over it because I ain't got to do it. All I got to do is adhere to what God told me to do, and he'll fill them every time. You know, same thing with salvation. When you witness to them and you say what God said, people are going to get saved. Are you going to plant a seed, and somebody going to come and water that seed, but God's going to get the increase. So it's all about you just being an instrument that God can flow through. Amen? All right. And I need to finish reading some things. Let's see. Give me a second here. Let me start over with this. Ephesians 3, 7 and 11. Wherefore I was made a prisoner according to the gift and the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me whom am the least. The less and the least of all saints was this grace given, that I may preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why is this possible? Because he has granted us, as I said, access, boldness, and confidence. And verses 12 and 13 says, in whom we have boldness, access, and confidence by the faith of him. Therefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations, for you which is for your glory. Those called into ministry in this day must possess supernatural confidence. That's so very important. Our confidence is not in our own ability, but our confidence must rest in the fact that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us and empowers us. So our confidence is not in our own ability, but our confidence must rest in the fact that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, amen, and empowers us. Philippians 3 and 3 says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So we should have no confidence in the flesh, amen, none whatsoever. Glory to God. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 4 says, and we have confidence in the Lord, not in ourselves, touching you that ye both do and will do the things which you are commanded. Confidence in the Lord, not man. That's why it's so important that we yield our members unto God. Hebrews 3:6, but Christ as a son over the house, over his house, whom house ye are, if ye hold fast the confidence and rejoice in the hope firm unto the end. I'm going to read it again. Hebrews 3:6, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope confirming unto the end. Hebrews 3:14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. God will do what he said he's going to do. Amen? All right. That's so, so very important. Hebrews 10:38. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which have great recompense of reward, that after you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. That's Hebrews 10:35. Remember, if you don't believe in what God called you to do, no one else will. Okay? The seventh way to build honor is to exercise self-control. Your spirit man needs to take to be in control at all times. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's Galatians 5:22-25. You need individuals who know how to control their fleshly appetites, their emotions, and their temperance, exercising self-control over their senses, their mind and their body, having soul control. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9:27 and 9:25-27 says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means I have preached to others, myself should be a castaway. Amen. Isaiah 26:3 says that he will keep us in perfect peace if we keep our minds stayed upon him, you know, keeping us in self-control. Amen. Also, they need to know how to function in their relationship with men of lesser gifts and those who also have greater gifts. You know how to move in and out of spiritual authority, how to keep quiet when you're around somebody of a greater gift, and how to speak into somebody's life who's being developed when you're in a position to help develop them. Amen. Once we develop this kind of individuals or these kind of ministries, we have entered the process of sowing the seeds of honor. Once we have developed these kind of individuals, what kind of individuals? The kind of individuals, as I stated earlier at the very beginning, commission, the call, the competent, the conduct, the continuity, the confidence, and the self-control, or having control. Amen. Glory to God. Let's see what else I need to. When Jesus came as a gift, he came as an honor seed. Okay? When Jesus came as a gift, he came as an honor seed. That was his prayer at the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, when he prayed, he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's so very important that we understand. When Jesus came, he came as an honor seed. And it was in Gethsemane. He said, Father, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. No, he came as an honor seed. Our job then is to raise up a generation of men and women who do not just know how to do good church, but understand how to sow the seed of honor. Amen. Obedience is better than sacrifice, but submission is better than obedience. In obedience, there's still an element of self. I may obey outwardly, but not in the heart. But total submission is yielding your spirit, your soul, and body to the call and the will of God. Amen. With that said, we're going to conclude for today. I'll see you next week. Be blessed. Amen.